Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Guess is back again. It's Pete and Luke on the Luke and Pete Show. I've just gone to pick up a little cup of tea, a little cup of coffee, and then I remembered I drank it all.
Oh, that's
very
that's
disappointing. How are you doing, Luke?
Good. Episode 199.55.
Yes.
A really important one.
A real totem pole in a sea of non-totem poles.
It's my fault for numbering them in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
It's your fault for your approach to admin.
Yep.
But we are friends, so we'll gloss over
colleagues,
it.
Yep.
Colleagues.
Correct.
Firm colleagues.
See how the Ramble Live tour goes. RambleLive.com if you want to come and see us.
Yeah, that's starting on Thursday, isn't it? Exciting.
Can't wait. I've hurt my knee. Luke, I was at a gig over the weekend. I had a perfect weekend. Almost perfect weekend.
Talk us through it.
Friday, went up to see my sister and her niece.
Your niece, her child.
How do you know? I could be going to see her niece. No, you never know.
I do know.
All right.
Yeah.
It was my niece and her child. And we had a lovely afternoon. Little baby Emma has discovered that I have disposal income and I will spend it on ice cream. So we are now firm friends.
Oh, yeah. That's how it works.
That is how it works. Yeah. A little bribe here or
you,
there.
You should have been there when my niece Betsy discovered that Auntie Mimi, obviously my wife, rhymes with Auntie Wee Wee.
Yes, nice.
And then I automatically became Uncle Poo Poo.
Yes.
So now we're Wee Wee and Poo Poo.
That's lovely, old chap.
Yeah. So I got a birthday video from her the other day, and obviously my sister or my brother-in-law got the camera on her, and when it starts, she just goes, Uncle Pooh!
Yeah, and that's your favourite ablution, isn't it?
It is, actually, yeah.
Out of all of them.
Yeah,
that's good.
I'm very regular. But carry on. How is baby Emma?
It's good. She's on
how old
farm.
Is she now?
She's two. She's just turned two, I think. She is very big into
Japan.
Big in Japan.
Yeah.
She hates dinosaurs,
right.
Which is kind of weird because kids love dinosaurs, don't they?
They do, normally. Yeah.
She's interested in them, but very scared of them.
Yeah.
And my sister's got a new phone, so I put like a filter thing on it on it, so she can make her into a pirate. And she very much enjoyed looking like a pirate.
Yeah, I bet.
It was very... I like to call it pirate techniques.
I can imagine you and her now she's two got quite a lot in common.
Hugely.
Yeah.
Like little filters make her look like she's a talking sausage. You go, I'm a sausage.
Yeah. You're describing essentially most encounters I have with you.
Yeah, exactly. She is the most charming member of the Donaldson/1S family. So,
tribe.
Very enjoyable. Tribe, yeah. Did you say?
Tribe.
Oh, tribe.
Yeah.
Tribe!
My niece instantly, when she was born, just became my favourite human being in the world.
Straight away,
like instantly. Yeah. It wasn't even like a thing I had to worry about. She's like, bang, massively. Straight away, that's it.
And then I went down to Birmingham to reunite with some members of the celebrated ska punk duo One-Eyed Willie.
They were a duo.
Trio in this case, but they were originally a quartet.
Let's call them a band.
Let's call them a band.
Yeah. The seminal One-Eyed Willie. How many releases?
Six gigs.
Six
seven
gigs.
Six, seven gigs, something like that.
But it was like Manchester Free Trade Hall, right?
The
significance culturally was big in that area.
Well, Dom, the drummer, reminded me that we did dress up as the Three Kings one Christmas to do a gig, and we gave away a PlayStation we found in the street. So that if you, you know, if you ever come into a One Eye Willie gig, that's what you expect.
Is it Ska Punk Covers?
Ska Punk Covers. And we went to see the band Sir Ferris, Goldfinger, and also Less Than Jake as well.
What a lineup!
What a lineup! I did what can only be described as something. I went to the front of the during Less Than Jake, the final thing. They were doing the entirety of one of their albums, which was very fun because it was very much the album that I remember when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And we went right at the front, and then there was just constant circle pit going, everyone running around and pushing and stuff, and lots of crowd surfing and stuff like that.
Everyone about your age?
Yeah, everyone about my age. Yeah. They've got the, you know, the kids are with the childminder, and they've got the night off, and they are cosplaying as their 20-year-old selves.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun. And I'm right at the front, and I was like, I'm going to jump in that. I'm going to jump in that circle pit. I'm going to start running around. Jumped in it. I was on a bouncy castle 2 weeks ago, and I have never been more exhausted. Because you can't really stop. Your legs are just constantly moving. You've got to stop yourself from falling over.
Yeah.
Exhausting immediately. And I was like, wow, I've not been on a bouncy castle for a while. I'm exhausted. I'm so unfit. This is horrible. I had the same feeling with this. You can't switch off at any moment. Because when I'm playing football, I go as fast as I need to. I work as hard as I think I need to.
Mm-hmm.
Or when I have a run around, that's basically on my terms. In a circle pit, you got to be on. You got to be protecting yourself. You got to be pushing people back in there. And I was in agony in about 5 seconds. It was horrible.
Did you last one song?
I lasted less than one song, yeah.
Straight back out.
Gainesville Rock City.
Starting nodding your head and tapping your foot.
Yep, definitely. Yeah, sort of looking, eyeing up the bar.
What's the name of the album that you identified with?
I can't bloody remember now. It was Less Than Jake. They were playing
Are
the
they seen as the biggest of those three then, are they?
Yeah, it seems to be. I think they've been doing it. I mean, they've obviously been doing it for a long time. But Goldfinger have get a bit nerdy, but they've kind of absorbed members of like MXPX and stuff, which were obviously quite a big pop punk band as well at the time.
Is it Hello Rockview?
It was Hello Rockview.
Yeah,
that's correct.
That might be.
Yeah,
and I remember Goldfinger from
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, Superman.
Here I am, holding on to what I can.
Bang.
That just reminds me of being in halls at uni.
Yeah,
that song was all over my uni hall. Oh, great stuff. It sounds like you had a good time.
I had a bloody great weekend.
Oi, you were rolling back the years.
I didn't feel like it.
No.
Oh, the queues in Birmingham O2 Academy. Fuck that. Piss off.
What, for the toilets or the bar?
No, for the bar. Like, they just didn't have, if you've got a packed, you know, they're not kids. They're all like 30-somethings at least. So they're going to be drinking. They're going to be drinking your real ales. They're going to be drinking your Carlsberg and your Heineken. Get somebody just filling up the pints, because you'll always sell them. You'll always sell the pints. Fill up the pints.
You sell most of the Pete Donaldson.
Fill up the pints. It just took a long time.
You know,
46 quid for a round. Piss off.
Bloody hell. That's only two beers as well.
I know.
Pete, you know you're known as a very generous man, and you like to chuck your money around and all the rest of it. Not in a vulgar way. You're just a generous chap. Yeah, the Ramble live shows, for example, if we go to the bar afterwards, which we normally do, and you're going to stand people around, but there's obviously loads of people there. What's the most amount of beers you would buy, do you think, for a group of people?
I can't do it every night, can I?
No, we're just but saying in principle.
But then, you know,
so you go into the bar after the show. There's people milling about. There's a couple of hundred people in the bar.
Yeah,
and you go up to the bar, and people see it's you, and you start chatting to people. You know how it goes. You're buying four beers anyway for some friends.
Mm.
There's people just hanging around.
Mm.
What's the most you would go to?
Well, I think I did about four at WrestleMe Live.
Four?
A couple of weeks ago.
That's much lower than I thought you'd say.
What do you mean? It depends, doesn't it?
Would you not just go 20 beers? Just 20 beers, put them on the bar, everyone wants them, come and get
not
them.
Not at King's Place.
Not at Hackney.
Oh, my. Well, Hackney would be all right, wouldn't it? Around the corner, that little pub around the corner.
Oh, King's Place is in King's Cross, isn't
King's
it?
Cross,
Yeah.
I don't think I can hang around after Hackney. I've got a bloody work, haven't I? Which is rubbish.
Oh, dear.
The only day I can get off.
Oh, dear. Sorry.
Never mind.
Don't say that on the
I mean, sorry,
podcast.
Yeah, I'll definitely be there. Yeah. Definitely be there. Oh,
I was going to ask you.
Hello.
About this, speaking of pop punk, this Tom DeLonge from Blink 182 and UFOs.
DeLongos.
I don't understand this story. I need you to explain
it
to me.
Well, he's been a long-standing fan of the UFOs. If you talk to him, he'll just start talking about UFOs. Basically, he's just big into it, and he's obsessed with them. Something's out there, etc. And that's all he talks about, really. But now, thanks to him, I think there was some kind of declassified data or videos that was found or leaked or something to the press. I like to think they were leaked just to stop people from storming Area 51. What do you reckon? Because they were leaked on the same
theory.
Week.
Yeah,
like, obviously, Area 51, there was going to be a big meetup. In the end, It was just a couple of people smoking bifters outside having a bit of a party.
Yeah.
But nobody got shot, nobody got hurt, which is a good thing, obviously. But also, it wasn't that very well attended and nobody stormed anything. They just had a bit of a party.
Well, they were talking about on, I'm going to say Pod Save the World, or maybe Pod Save America, about how the organisers of it, it just got way out of hand.
Yeah.
And they were worried that it was going to turn into like a fire fest type thing.
Yeah, there was no infrastructure, was there?
Yeah, yeah. And they didn't have any toilets, didn't have enough water or food for anyone. And so they kind of pulled it from the Facebook page. But I liked that the official name of it was Storm Area 51. They can't stop all of us. But then I guess it was just people. I think 200 people turned up in the end and left peacefully after what the police called heated warnings. Just stoned out their mind.
Love it.
Eating like hash cookies and stuff.
Oh,
not hash browns. I mean, that wouldn't do anything. Although no. I love hash browns.
I did too yesterday. Not Thomas Pickering. What's that kind of Canadian fast food outlet where you can just kind of have a bit of everything? Thomas Pickering. We'll go to one in Toronto.
I've never heard of it.
I don't even
know what the ballpark you're in.
No, exactly.
I couldn't tell
it's
you.
It's outside Birmingham New Street Station, I know that much.
What is your must-have items on an English breakfast then?
Black pudding.
Yeah, straight away.
Just that's my. If I could just have a plate of compacted black pudding into a big volcano, with maybe a bit of tomato sauce coming out the top like lava, I would very much like to eat that.
You've just put me off dinner for life.
Imagine a big volcano, like Close Encounters, just kind of built up on your plate.
Yeah,
and then like a torrent, like of lava coming out the top of tomato sauce. I'd have a bit of that.
There'll be a torrent coming out of my mouth in a minute if you carry on that. I go sausage, bacon, scrambled eggs, beans, hash browns, and some nicely cooked tomatoes.
You're a bit of a tomato dodger though, usually, aren't you?
No,
you're like, you take your tomatoes out of your burgers, don't you?
I like
slimy.
I only like cooked tomatoes.
Right, okay.
I don't like, I like small, like the cherry ones.
Little babbers.
I don't like big uncooked ones.
Right, okay.
I don't know why that is. They got a bit of a weird taste to me.
What do you mean?
I think cooked tomatoes I really like. I must just take the sting out of them or something.
Yeah, you're right. The addition of oil does give it a certain something. I wouldn't pick. But
I've got something for you here, Pete. So when you were doing, you were reliving your youth.
Right.
I was doing something that you will no doubt laugh at me for, which is Mimi had her aunt and uncle over for
call her by name,
from the US. Auntie Wee Wee had her aunt and uncle over, who we're very good friends with and close to, because her uncle actually married us. He had the blessing for our marriage, and we stay there whenever we go over there. They came to visit. And on Saturday, we took them to Kew Gardens, which is an amazing spot. It was a beautiful day for it as well. And there's a brilliant art exhibition there, sculpture exhibition at the moment, by a guy called Dale Chihuly, who does, he's been around for a long time. I think he's quite an old guy now. And he does these amazing glass-blown sculptures, which look like almost like hyper-real plants.
Right.
So when you put them in Kew Gardens, they just dropped in random places. Yeah, yeah. They just look amazing. It looks a bit like... The ground's opened up and these weird fairy dimensions come out. It's amazing. Anyway, they've got a lot of interesting species there, as you would imagine. It's a beautiful place to spend a day, particularly when the weather is nice. But I found this tree in there called the Morris Bee's Gum Tree. Now, listen to the write-up of this. You'll love this. It says, this gum tree is endemic to southeastern Tasmania, where it is restricted to only two small populations made up of approximately 2,000 mature plants. It starts by producing seeds when it reaches maturity, which takes approximately 10 years.
Don't we all?
Its seeds are serotonous. Sorry. Its seeds are serotonous, meaning they require an environmental trigger to be released.
Ah.
And in Morris Bee Gum's case, the trigger is fire. Seeds are stored within button-shaped pods up in the canopy, and they remain tightly closed until a fire comes along and melts the resin, sealing them shut.
Brilliant.
And the seed then falls onto the fertile bed of ash that the fire leaves behind.
That's amazing.
That's the only way they reproduce.
That is...
How mad is that?
You're just hoping for a... Do they stay in stasis until that happens, though? Or does it? Or do they just start to rot after a while?
It doesn't say, but I think...
I guess no oxygen is getting to them, so why would they?
It's an amazing thing, right?
That's fantastic.
Evolutionarily speaking, over millions of years, that has learned or adapted...
To
forest fires, basically. Mm. It's an incredible situation.
It's just weird. It's just... there's no need for gods.
I know, right?
It's just no need for gods, is there?
It puts in that mind of that Darwin kind of quote where he says, it's not the strongest or the fastest or the cleverest species that survive, it's the ones most adaptable to change, the most receptive to change, basically. Incredible stuff. Anyway, I really enjoyed it. I'd recommend going. I'm not sure how long the exhibition's on for. Of course, the Morrisby's gum tree will be there forever, but the sculpture exhibition, which is well worth a turn of the head, I don't know when it runs to, but get yourself over there. I think it was only about 15 quid to get in. Not terrible. It's a massive, massive place. Beautiful place to walk around of an afternoon.
Are you allowed to get your lighters out and melt the resin?
You can't really get close to them.
Nah.
You can get close to some of them. But they're glass, not resin. Oh, you mean the seeds?
Yeah.
Oh, the seed pile. I didn't think about that. That'd have been brilliant.
Get your lighter out.
I should have done that. I didn't think about it because that's not where my mind goes, Pete Donaldson. But you can also, one for you and your lot, you can drink beer in there.
What, you're allowed to just roll around quaffing?
I'm going to say,
That's the thing, all the posh places, you're allowed to drink alcohol. Football, nah.
Isn't that so true? Yeah. The UK class system is such that middle class, upper class people will be allowed to do whatever they want, essentially, Anyway, so that was good. What else have I got for you? What else have I been doing?
What else have you got for me there, Lukey?
Planning for the tour, really. That's pretty much it. It's taking a lot of planning.
Yeah, well, I hurt my knee during Lesson Jerks. I'm hoping that my dance I may or may not be doing.
I think people would
my
be...
My performance.
I think of the Luke and Pete Show audience. Not all of them are Ramble listeners, of course,
exactly.
But a lot of them are. But one of the best things of preparation for this tour so far is Pete took us through one of his set pieces, which I won't reveal here because you'd have to come to see it and see it for yourself. But he took us through it. And there was a moment in it where you were being so energetic with the moves you were making and you were knackered and there was spittle at the sides of your mouth and the hair flopped over the front. You looked exactly like Bruno Gantz in Downfall playing Adolf Hitler. Rest him. So it's pretty engaging and dramatic stuff.
Yeah.
Let's take a little break because I'll tell you why. People will say I say this all the time. I don't. I say this when it's relevant. We have got some truly magnificent emails this week, so stick around.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Hey y'all, it's Farmer Mima, and today I'm going to show you what I've been doing to take care of the pantry moth situation.
Pantry moths. They're moths that live in your pantry.
It's not just a clever name.
Do what they say on the tin.
It's not an ironic name.
No.
You go first, Peter.
All right, and baby doll, I've got an email from... Alex. Hi, guys. Adding on to the chat about Airbnbs in episode 199.52. People are getting on board.
They are.
And others in the past, I'd like to share my own Airbnb experience. It was my first time using Airbnb and already a bit apprehensive about staying in someone's home. What was to come next would only add to this. After a long day exploring Berlin, my friend and I returned to the flat, both needing to use the bathroom, as you do. This, however, would prove not to be possible. We returned to see that our host was currently in the bathroom and then could hear that he was clearly not alone.
Oh dear.
What followed was the longest half an hour of our lives, pondering whether we could get away with pissing in his extensive collection of potted plants whilst mourning continued from the bathroom. Eventually, the torture ended and the plants were left unharmed. That torture, however, didn't really end, and the rest of the trip spent in the flat felt incredibly awkward. Safe to say, I completely agree with Luke's reservations towards Airbnb. Alex, I have never stayed in Airbnb where I haven't had the run of the place. Tick, entire home. Always tick, entire home.
Apart from when the guy was in that rocking chair.
Yes, that was an unwelcome addition to the amenities.
You've got the whole home.
You got the whole home. You'll there is a man in there.
You'll need it to run away from the serial killer. We had a couple of, I'm going to talk to you a bit about your email discipline in a minute anyway. I'll address it live on this show.
Okay.
We got a couple of emails from people saying Airbnbs are effectively illegal in New York City. Is that right?
I think they're against most of the being a landlord or having, you have to have like certain things. It's like in Japan, they've taken like 99% of the Airbnbs off the out of the system because the government said if you're running effectively what is a hotel, you need this insurance, you need this insurance, you need to tick a load of boxes.
Public liability.
I think New York is kind of getting that way as well.
All right, fair enough. Because someone emailed saying there was a lot of signs everywhere saying don't go to Airbnbs or whatever. But anyway.
Is that not just a, would that not just be a hotel lobby group sort of paying some flyers to?
Well, hotels are notoriously expensive in New York City, so it could be linked.
They're ridiculous.
But one thing that people would have learned from listening to this show over the years would be that don't get involved in any kind of admin process with Pete Donaldson. Is that fair? And I'm saying this to your face, so I'm not saying it on your back. I mean, don't get involved.
What's your point, caller?
My point is that I am in the unfortunate position where I have to share an email inbox with you.
Yes.
For the purpose of this show. And what would make my life a lot easier, mate, is if you look at the emails as you do, if you've decided that one of them, you've read it, but you don't think it's relevant, can you mark it as unread? Because I might be able to bring something tasty to the table with it.
Hang on. But I star them when I like them.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know which ones have been read and which ones haven't.
Which ones have been read? Yeah, they all get read, though, don't they?
Yeah, but I want to be able to get into a situation where I see the ones that I haven't read. So if you mark them as unread after you've read them, I can see them.
How would I do that? There's thousands of emails. You just click and most of them
look at this one here, Pete. So for example, right? Say this one here, right? I was just fucking find one. I can't even find one now. That one there, right? Right. You've read that. Yeah. Subject from Matt. Subject title, Bull Semen, right?
Right, okay.
You've read that and thought, I don't fancy that. Fine. Click on that and then click mark as unread. Then little Lukey comes along. So I quite like the look of that one. I might bring it to the table.
You should be reading all of them, though.
Oh, that's not really realistic, is it?
Well, I read every email that comes in. Why can't you? Yeah. I mean, in between all of the shite that people send us with spam emails and stuff.
All right.
Offers of live camming. What is it, like 20 per episode? You can pile through that easily.
All right, fair enough. What about this one from Daniel?
Daniel.
I wanted to say Danielle, but I just changed it last minute.
Sang that song, Daniel? Was it Bat for Lashes? I want to say
yes,
it is.
I think it is, yeah. Daniel's got in touch and he's given us another song title with brilliant versions.
Okay.
Remember, that's been a bit of a trope. We've had Come Together.
Mm.
We've had All Around the World.
Yeah.
/ Around the World. He's brought another one to the table. And the song title is Hold On.
Yeah.
Hi, Luke and Pete. Daniel here from episode 92, Never Arm Wrestle an Actor. P.S. My arm still hasn't fully recovered. Upon searching popular songs with the same title, I think this one could be a winner. Hold On. Here's a list. Korn, Good Charlotte, Limp Bizkit, Tom Waits, Kansas, Wilson Phillips, Pearl Jam, Santana, 50 Cent, En Vogue, Yes, Green Day, Nuke is on the Block, Freddie Mercury, Deep Purple, Stevie Winwood, Razorlight, The Rascals, Lou Reed. There's also Alabama Shakes. There's loads. Mogwai. There's loads.
But a lot of those songs are bangers as well. So I think the quality there is definitely there.
Wilson Phillips is a banger.
Yeah, that was...
Try not singing along to that. Impossible.
Was it at the end of the...
Bridesmaids. Hold on for one more day.
What a film that is. I should watch that again. I've been watching a lot of SNL and some of the best sketches are the ones that were never made on air, never got to air, honestly.
Was Kristen Wiig on SNL then?
Yes, yeah, they all started there.
Okay, it's a brilliant film. Anyway, thank you very much for that, Daniel. I mean, people are going to have to go some. I mean, I would probably question the quality of some of the songs from people like Limp Bizkit and possibly even Good Charlotte, but there you go. Overall, it's a pretty good list, pretty strong list.
Yes. Hello to Chris Hall. Hello, gents. He's 35 from Glasgow. Just giving us that bit of information.
ASL. ASL.
Yeah, ASL.
People should put the ASL in every email.
Anybody want a cyber? First of all, I've loved the show and have been listening since the days of Luke and Pete's summer. A first-time emailer, though.
Pete, what does cyber mean? Does it mean you talk about having sex?
Want to have cyber sex?
You're talking about having sex online?
Yeah, I used to, when I was a kid, used to go into
cyber...
How old would I have been? What year? 97?
So 16-ish.
Yeah. I used to go into cyber sex chat rooms and anybody want to... anybody want a cyber? And then they go, it's a location, I just make something up. Like female, you know, America, you know, 25 or something. And then as soon as they went, yeah, all right, then. And I'd go, fart, shit, bollocks. And then go, sorry, my brother just went on my keyboard. I'm so sorry. And then I'd get the trust back of everybody in the room. And then I'd do it again.
You are a disgusting man, aren't you?
All the while masturbating. Hello to Chris Hall. I've just listened to your last show. No idea what number one, thanks to some questionable admin skills of he who shall not be named.
Yeah.
Well, and that's all the email said. See you later, Chris. No. I have become a meme of some prominence among my mates. Is that technically a meme?
Probably not.
Yeah, the picture in question is the one attached. It's this one. Looking good, fella. Looking good.
It's just like a bloke having a professional photo done.
It's like a headshot for an actor, isn't it? Yeah, one of my schoolmates saw it and thought it was hilarious. It's kind of funny, I suppose. He then shared it with several other schoolmates. This happened about 5 years ago. Since then, this picture has been used for all kinds of various situations, but with a different text surrounding it. Chris says, relax, keep calm and look at Chris, etc., etc. Yeah. The picture is used as a thumbnail for several WhatsApp chats in various states and was even printed out in large and framed and took it to a televised rugby tournament during my stag. When me and my mates were then interviewed about why it was a thing. To be honest, we were all looking like dicks. It was plastered all over Newcastle on a night out as well. I've been reliably informed you can still find some of the stickers around the streets this very day. It was put on a baby grow and one of my friends had a new son, and it's been projected largely onto the side of Edinburgh Castle.
Wow. That is a meme, surely. That falls into the category of meme.
It's a local meme. I mean, they've printed it out on the... I think that is Edinburgh.
It's not gone viral, but it is a meme.
It's a strong look. It's a strong picture.
It's an organic meme.
It's an organic meme, yeah.
And any news on your friend Al's devastated... devastating fear of not of being a meme?
No, I've not seen Al for a couple of weeks. Last I heard, I offered him a complimentary ticket to, he is my best friend, I offered a complimentary ticket to one of the London shows, to the Football Ramble. He didn't seem that interested, which was upsetting. And he texted me from Portsmouth on Saturday night going, everyone's gone home, it's only 12 o'clock, why won't anybody stay out with me? So there you go.
Is he very much
cut from the same cloth as me?
Yeah, I can see why you get on, you two. Mm. Although you would never text us saying you're still out.
Disappear. I'd be straight on. Straight home, mate.
You're on the record as saying that you have always got a thing at the back of your mind that there's a better party somewhere else.
Yeah.
But you'll never find it. It's mythical.
No, it's like
Valhalla.
Sometimes.
Carlsberg-sponsored Valhalla.
Don't Vikings eventually get to Valhalla? Isn't that where they're going? Yeah, isn't that their heaven?
It's mythical, though, isn't it?
What?
Yeah.
You tell us Vikings, they're going to fucking scalp you, mate.
I wouldn't tell them.
Take your head off.
I wouldn't say it to their face. Kieran Keane, pleasing name.
Ooh.
He's got in touch with a less than pleasing story, but he starts his email by saying, I've been listening from the start, and I've emailed a few times, but I've never gotten on. Well, you have now, Kieran. Imagine not being able to get an email on this show.
Because I keep not reading it.
Yeah. Admittedly, my previous emails were all a long-winded story about me getting punched in the face by a girl during sex. That's probably why I didn't get in there.
Uh-huh.
Anyhow, I'm a Brit who's currently living in Sydney, Australia. And while I was reading the Australian news, I thought this would be right up your alley. And he's linked to a story, which the headline is, Fire Sparks Mass Explosion of Semen at Cattle Breeding Centre.
Spectacular.
A fire at a cattle building has caused 100 cylinders of bull semen to explode in a huge blow for farmers. Thousands of dollars worth of bull semen has been destroyed after a cattle building exploded in the fire early this morning. I mean, thousands of dollars worth. I mean, I don't know how much a shot of bull semen is.
It's. I mean, they must go through a lot of it because obviously that's the main way you inseminate an animal. But yeah, incredible. Mm. Imagine the smell.
Yeah, artificial insemination. AI. They talk about AI a lot in the story, which confused me, but it means artificial insemination, not artificial intelligence, of course, in this context.
Mm.
And it says, it's been a significant issue for them. It's going to have a lot of flow-on effect. The company provides artificial insemination, breeding advice, calf dehorning, herd testing, and freeze branding services for farmers in the area. So,
white gold, baby.
Best of luck to them. Not ideal. Kieran also finishes his email with a PS about the what a Luke and Pete festival would consist of.
Yeah.
He said it would have to have the following: a snobbish beer stand, a succulent Chinese meal vendor, a dolphin fondling workshop, a meet and greet with Julian Assange, and a battery collection point.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah, battery collection point. One of those little tubes you see in supermarkets.
Yeah. I never use them because I've never got old batteries on me.
I don't think that. I think you have to specifically bring them in. It's not like...
Yeah,
you see, when you see batteries all in a tube, like, you think, God, I don't know. I think just the infrastructure of recycling in any sphere is actually quite interesting. Because, like, you open a... Have you ever opened up a battery or even a lithium-ion one?
Yeah.
Like, they're just kind of, like, folded up bits of, like, paper and metal.
Yeah.
Coated in this kind of, like, metallic, you know, obviously, chemical compound. But, oh, man. It looks acrid. I don't know how you would even begin to recycle a battery. So,
do you know, do you remember we saw the inside of Tempin bowling balls?
Yeah.
And they've all just got little bits of rubble in them and stuff.
And other bowling
snooker
balls
and stuff in them. Yeah. And on Kieran's point about all my emails I've sent in haven't got on the show, I think what you have to do when you want to email hello@lukeandpeacher.com is you've got to have a good idea, clear idea in your mind who you're targeting that email to, whether you're targeting to Pete or to me, and then you've got to hope one of us reads it first, because that's why the whole markers unread thing comes in, because if Pete sees an email about UFOs, he's going to read it, he ain't going to be bothered about it, and he's going to move on. It's never going to get read out. I look at it and go, oh, I must have read that one before. I'll never go into it.
Yeah, but I always go into the email box after you. So when I read them, when I sort of read, I knowing full well that I read all of the emails since the last show recording.
Right, yeah.
Just know that I've kind of piled through them. It doesn't take that long.
But you've got very specialist interest.
It does, yeah. If there's willies involved or testicles, I'm there.
Or ball,
I'm there.
In this case, ball semen. Oh, that was me who read that one out. All right, let's get out of here. We're back on Thursday. We're going to do a show on Thursday. Before we head off to Hackney Empire, we should say, if you like any of this nonsense, you don't even really need to be a football fan to enjoy Football Ramble Live.
No.
Go to ramblelive.com. We're probably playing a town near you between now and the start of November. We'd love to see you there. See you later, Peter.
See you later, Luke.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.